I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, Diane Britsky is our very special guest, environmentalist and author, and we'll talk about her wonderful book in a little bit. But right now, let me introduce or reintroduce Diane Britsky. How are you, Diane?
I'm doing pretty good, Frank. Thank you. Besides the cold weather here in Michigan.
Yeah. How cold is it there?
Well, they were saying we had getting a warming spell of 35.
Oh.
But we're supposed to get a bad snowstorm tonight. So, you know, Michigan, we always say, you know, the weather changes every 5 minutes. So, you know, keep your Bermuda shorts out and also your parkas.
Well, that's something we all have to watch out for. I'm actually on my way to Greece, and I think it's a little warmer. It's warmer over there. Have you ever been overseas?
No, the farthest I've been is Hawaii. I would like to someday, when my bankroll starts rolling, the one place I would really love to go to is Africa. I have a friend who still works at a zoo. He's from Kenya, and he always says, you're going to get over there. So I'm hoping his visions are true. Some of my friends have gone to Costa Rica and Peru and Ecuador, and I always tell them what to look for. And I don't know if they found them or not. I'm used to seeing the animals in zoos, and that's about as close as I get to wildlife, unless I'm up north in the woods looking for, you know, deer and wild turkeys, and where my sister and I have houses. They sent us like a newsletter, and they told us that they had found bear markings and cougar markings. So, you know, keep your dogs and your kids in. And that's not unusual, because Michigan does have black bears. You have to have a special permit to hunt them. And it is kind of uncommon for us to get cougars. They would have had to cross over the Lake Superior when it was frozen in order to get over to Michigan. So they're down here. You know, and one thing I wanted to talk about today is the invasive species and the loss of habitats.
Yeah, please.
I know that. Yeah, that's been big in the news, and my belief is that the biggest invasive species is the human being.
Yeah, no doubt, no argument here, but it's an interesting point.
I'm not sure if it was Hurricane Katrina, but there was a reptile facility where they were breeding the reptiles or keeping them to be dispersed to zoos. That went over, and all of those species of reptiles, especially the boa constrictors and pythons, were out. And now they have men that are doing what they can to go into the Everglades, which is a perfect living spot for them. And unfortunately, when they catch them, they euthanize them.
Oh.
But that's an invasive species. And they can grow up to hundreds of pounds, and they can eat something. They have the jaw that opens up, so they can get ahead of a deer or a rabbit or something in it. And that is destroying the habitat of the species that live there. So to get rid of that, I mean, as much as I don't like animals to be euthanized, it's an endangered species. And it's endangering the wildlife that is their habitat. And one thing I'd like to get across to your listeners is that invasive species can come from anywhere. Oh, years ago, people said, there's alligators in the sewer system of New York. Well, I wouldn't doubt it. People that have, when they go to these reptile shows, they get, you know, a nice little snake or snapping turtle or whatever. When they don't want it anymore, they let it go. They may let it go in a pond, a river, a lake, maybe even, you know, down the sewers. And that is what's causing the problem. That's an invasive species.
Well, let me chime in on that. I think an interesting perspective, but let me remind folks, if they're just tuning in or turning on their radio, Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction is the name of the book. It's wonderful. Everyone get it. It's by Diane Briskey, who is our very special guest, part of a series on the environment, on saving the animals that are so important to us and to our children and to the future generations here. Frank McKay with Diane Briskey. Years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but there used to be they found it cute. I don't know what it was, but they were selling baby alligators down in Florida, and people would come home, dopey, not thinking about it, and they would come home with a tiny little alligator in a box, and they would play for it, play with it for a little while, and usually it would die, and because it's out of its environment and it's up here and it shouldn't be. They don't know what to do. They played with it for a little while, but when it got big enough, they would flush it down the toilet. And a lot of New Yorkers flushed these baby alligators down, and they would go into the sewer system. Now, people argue that, well, they can't survive the flush, you know, that it's too much or whatever. I don't know about that. Alligators could live underwater for a very long time, and
they do come up for air a little bit.
Yeah,
they'll stick their eyes and their nose up to take a breath, but they can stay under a long time.
Yeah, and keep in mind,
they do grow if they have enough of a food supply. They will grow fast. And I know when my sister taught kindergarten, she had a small one. Whether she bought it at a pet store, I don't know, but she had to eventually get rid of it. But I know she didn't float it down in tubes or anything. And, you know, I walk through the pet stores and I see these different reptiles, the iguanas that they have and all of that. And, you know, any reptile carries salmonella. Yeah. And when I would go out to schools, I would tell the kids, oh, yeah, well, it's nice to have a bearded dragon. It's nice to have a corn snake or whatever to get them used to, you know, seeing that animal. But if you don't have your child use an antibacterial soap after they touch, even a turtle, and they stick their hands in their mouth, then they're susceptible to getting that salmonella. And you can't say, oh, well, it's the reptile's fault. Well, no. I mean, they're not made to be a pet, but they have breeding farms for these animals. And right now at the aquarium where I worked at, they have a chameleon, and she is in a tank all by herself. And they have a male in the back with hopes to breed them. And the female has laid eggs. Naturally, they're not fertile. But what happens is that in the reptile life, the female is always bigger than the male. So she may be mature enough, but to put the male in with her in prospects of breeding them, she at first may hiss at them. It's more like saying, oh, get away from me, don't even touch me. Then they'll take him out. But a month later, she may accept him. So they copulate, and they have to remove him right away or she'll kill him.
Wow.
So that's the downfall of breeding. But then she may have eggs, which they're fairly good mothers. And snakes are the same way. And what happens now is that they do have breeding farms for these animals. Like I've mentioned on other shows, they do not go into the wild. Now, people listening may say, well, you know, if they go into the Everglades and capture a python, why don't they just turn it over to, you know, one of the zoos or whatever? Well, there are so many out there, and they breed so fast. There's some pythons that give birth in eggs. Some of them have live births. And once they're out of that eggs, they're gone.
Yeah.
Now, we had a man, and to go to these reptile, exotic animal shows where they have spiders and all this stuff, we had a man call our zoo when I worked there, and he talked to our reptile man, herpetologist, and he said he had a 21-foot reticulated python in his basement, and his wife said, either the snake goes or you go. So they went and they visited this man, and it was a beautiful specimen. But they came home, and they had to build a new tank. And all of the tanks in the zoos that I visited have a natural habitat. If you put an animal in just a tank, they're not going to be very happy. They have to be in a closure that replicates their natural habitat. And that's what zoos are working for now. If they like where they're staying, they're going to reproduce.
Right.
They're relaxed, you know, rather than being in a fenced-in area. And that's the biggest thing is people... They will have what I call the backyard carnivals, where they may have a black bear that does tricks. Well, that's degrading the animal,
yeah,
you know.
I agree.
And like, and you had mentioned Tippi Hendren last week,
yep.
And she has a fantastic facility, and her cats know her. But she, they have people that go through, but she doesn't put them on display. They see the natural habitat that these cats are in. And I would imagine if you looked at these animals, you could see the contentment in them, that they're happy.
She doesn't exploit
them.
Tippi doesn't exploit them.
Yes.
That's so important. Let me remind folks, you're listening to the voice of Diane Britsky, and she is a wonderful activist for those who have no voice. And the name of her book, it's so important for everyone to get it. Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. That's Diane Britsky's book, and you can get it at Amazon and everywhere they sell great books. Frank McKay with Diane Britsky. You mentioned something interesting, and I agree with you 100%. You said the biggest invasive species is man, is humans. And
yes.
And it is as accurate as you could be. We have gone into their environment, and we, depending on what areas, in some places there's no protection for the women, for the wildlife that are there. And men and women go in, and they'll do things that'll just destroy the environment without thinking about it. Here in America, I like to think that we're a little more sophisticated. And if you start doing something crazy, there'll be somebody like you or me or other folks, PETA, out there that will make a big deal about it and make the person do the right thing. So I think we're becoming a little more sophisticated here in America. Is that too optimistic?
No, that is true. There's a lot of organizations like PETA, They don't like PETA because of certain reasons, but I'm an advocate for them because they went into a facility where they had undercover people, and a man was importing different kinds of animals. It wasn't just reptiles. It was lemurs, turtles, frogs, a whole bunch of things. And when they got enough evidence, PETA moved in and they arrested him. And a lot of the FSU volunteers went and they found, they had to go to Kmart. They bought all of the Tupperware that they could find, the large containers. Some of the frogs were put in half-gallon pop bottles.
Oh, my God.
Crowded in there. And birds were piled on top of each other. Well, the ones on the bottom would be dead because they couldn't breathe. Some of the turtles were that way. Now, I just saw on National Geographic that some of the biologists and zoo people went to, and I believe it was Thailand, they were investigating the importing of exotic animals. And what they found was that some of the tortoises, like the Indian star tortoise that has a beautiful shell, and some of the other ones were wrapped in saran wrap.
Oh my God.
And put in boxes. And for some reason, which doesn't make the airlines very cool, went through security. Now, most of those boxes that come from another country go through customs. So somebody is slipping somewhere. Now, I don't know if you can see turtle shells in the x-rays or not, but that's one of the problems that we have. And then those shells, those turtles, are sold for a high price. Now, remember last week we talked, if you've got money, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have to believe some of these agents are getting paid off.
Right. And in fact, I was on Facebook this morning, and I don't know if it hit the news all over the world, but people were boycotting Jimmy John's. Right on there, he had killed 3 endangered species. Now, what the biggest problem is over there in Africa is they're giving these people carte blanche hunting permits. Now, he killed 2 African elephants, 1 rhino, and I can't remember what the 3rd one was, but they were all endangered species.
That's amazing.
A grizzly bear. A grizzly bear. Now, and they all have smiles. Oh, look, snap my picture. But they were actually boycotting him. Now, I don't know if the sales went down or whatever, but that's what people have to do. People have to start taking a stand.
I think one of the Trump boys, didn't he shoot something?
He shot a leopard, which is one of the big 5 I always talk about. I don't know what he did with it. I would imagine maybe one of their wives had a coat.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah, they also shot an elephant, African elephant, and one of the boys was holding up a tail. Now, that's a really good souvenir, right?
Oh, my God.
That's because they had the money. The hunting is, I don't think, is done on a preserve. It's not like they're overrun with leopards.
No.
Especially the African elephants. The elephants are in different countries. They are in India, where they really don't have the same kind of hunting as African. They found, and I'm not sure where the country is, they found a herd of very small elephants. And in fact, I wasn't even aware of it until I saw it on television. And there's some animals that are sacred to them. Monkeys, like in one of the countries where they just roam the streets doing what they want. And rats.
Wow.
In India. And, of course, there's the sacred cow. But until we get people to understand, look, if you just put a moratorium on hunting, let these species come back. It started in history. They had over 1 million bison out west. And when the railroad was being built, they needed meat. So what did they do? They killed as many buffaloes as they could. But they didn't take the meat. They took the fur, the pelts.
Disgusting.
And left the meat rotting. That is right. And that's the staple for the Native Americans.
Yeah. Height of arrogance. I mean, just unbelievable.
Right. And the only true peoples who respect animals are the Native Americans. They kill for the meat. They use every part of the animal.
Everything.
The buffalo. Yeah. Right. The buffalo's bladder for water. They use the pelts, the fur, for the blankets. They tan the hides that they get from deer and elk and that to make their clothes. And the people nowadays don't realize that that's not what hunting is all about. Now, I know that, and they say here, you know, we have our deer hunting season. Well, if the deer aren't killed, they're going to starve. And that's true. But the deer that they're taking, there's not enough meat on it to feed a five-year-old.
Yeah.
And I've seen videos of these deer starving, and I can see that.
Yeah. Well, hey, Diane, let me interrupt for a second and keep your thought.
Sure.
Frank McKay here. We're coming up on a break. Diane Britsky is the author of See Me Now, from Endangered to Extinction. It's the name of the book. Get it at Amazon. And just a wonderful activist, as you could hear. Frank McKay signing off for the moment. Diane Britsky is our continuing series. And binge listen to everything that we've done. It doesn't have to be in order, but do. It's so important. From Endangered to Extinct, See Me Now. Frank McKay signing off for a moment. We'll be back with Diane Britsky.